Father, we want to thank you. In Jesus' name. Last Sunday, by God's grace, we have been studying about the generation that we are living among. And now I just want to recapitulate what we learned last Sunday. But the title that now I have want to give you is, how are we to live among them? How does God expect us, our lifestyle, to be living among them? God's word tells us the whole generation is corrupt through lust. It is crooked and perverse. It's an abomination to the Lord. The lifestyle has been systematically designed by Satan. And people do not know where they are going, their destiny. 2 Peter 1st chapter verse 4 tells us, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The corruption is in the world through what? Lust, greediness. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The understanding of the generation has been darkened, and they are greedy for everything. That's why Satan designed these credit cards and this loan business everywhere, easy to obtain, so that you get everything that you want, not depending on God, not using your faith, and then pay your way until you die, having no time for the kingdom. This lifestyle did not come from heaven. It is from the pit of hell. There are many people, many families even now, dismantled, are separated, maybe they are living together, or they are separated even physically, divorced because of lack of unity, communication, and time to spend together. They had to work to pay up the debts. They are unconsciously driven by the demon spirit sent by Satan. We are commanded by God in Romans chapter 12 verse 2 not to get conformed to this lifestyle of this world. For Satan is the god of this age. World means this age, this present time. The system of life, the pattern of life. But we are to be transformed in our minds, in our soul, that we may know the will of God, that we may know the plan of God, that we may know exactly why God has called you and me at this time to do and finish whatever that He has called us to do. We are commanded by the word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, to come out from among this perverse generation. For their life is crooked, even though it's glamorous outside. People see their things and their vehicles and their houses and whatever, and their jobs and their salary scale, and then think that this is it. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. So we are to come out from among them. We should not copy their lifestyle. This is very important. But unfortunately, many Christians are caught up in the pattern of life. They have no other choice other than to get into bondage, just like the Israelites. They had to go out for straw. But here, this time, the demon spirit sent by Satan gives them everything. Now get it. But then you got to work and pay it. Are you listening to me? If so, say yes. We are told not to be contaminated by their life, corrupted. See, we need to get washed daily by the word of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Daily. Why? So much corruption through lust and sin in this world. Wherever you are working, wherever you are going, there is corruption in the spirit world. So we need to get washed. John chapter 13. Excuse me. John 13 verse 8. Jesus is now getting ready to wash the feet of the disciples. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." That means there is no partnership. There is no, you don't receive anything from me. I'm not going to receive anything from you. You have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "Watch this. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." He who is bathed, once you are born again, you are clean. But then your feet has to be washed. What do you mean by that? As we walk about and live on this earth, we are getting into places where the sin corruption is too much. You can know. Like I said, some people really got troubled when you were there in the Wonderland. And some others, you get troubled when you go to certain malls. And maybe when you go along and then see certain posters, see certain things that are so much demonic, Jezebelic. Corruption just shows. I don't know why they had to put those things even for simple advertisements. All nonsense. It is the demonic spirit's fruit that's coming out from the spirit world through these people who designed them. So we need to be washed daily. So Jesus said, you got to wash by water, the water of the word. We need to be washed because we are living among the perverse and crooked generation. Are you getting this? And most of us, those of us who say that we have no proper time to study the word and then to get washed by the word, we are going to really get attacked and come under the influence of this corruption through lust. And the demonic spirits are working so hard to get at Christians, number one, the believers. So how many of us can say that our lifestyles are different from that of the perverse and crooked generation? Or even the other people who are in different religions. Many Christians only differ from only what they, you know, they got a Bible, they go to church, pay their tithes, or just say a few prayers, but nothing else. They have no power. There is no anointing. They are dead inside. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. The kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. Amen. Don't get just settled down just because you have a Bible and got some cassettes and books and then, you know, I just want to see your power. That's what Paul said. Now, God is telling us that we are to shine as bright lights among the perverse and crooked generation. Philippians chapter 2. Not to just be a member of a church, or just go for some Bible studies, or just take down some notes and listen to cassettes. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I gave you the explanation last time in the other cassette. Get it and listen to it. Some of you don't even bother about it, even though that is even given free. So I can see the times and seasons that's changing. It's changing now. That's why I said at least half of you will not complete the call of God in your life. At least. So you better see to it that you are in which half you want to be. Perverse and crooked generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, in this age, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. That's why I warn you. That's why I rebuke you. That's why I can laugh with you. I can play with you, eat with you. But then when the time comes, then I have to rebuke you. I may not become friendly with you. I may not seem, might lose your, maybe, I don't know, your affection or whatever. But I had to, because you belong to Jesus and God has brought you, and I got to do my job. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Now, we are going to shine only on one thing that we will be doing. As we hold out the word of life, we are going to shine. There is no other way. Say after me, there is no other way. This generation is so darkened, their mind is darkened, their filthy language, their jokes, and the way they dress, the way they buy, the way they sell, the way they judge things and go about and spend their time, and the way they go to work and come back. Their pattern of lifestyle is all corrupted. It is not from God. But we are just taken into, as is a posh thing. We consider probably our native land as primitive because of lack of wealth. We think, oh well, we are just nobody. And we see the technology and we see the glamorous things over here, and they said, well, these people are really something, when they are inside nothing. Absolutely. Now, as we hold the word of life outside, as we hold it out, we begin to shine. See, we can read the Bible, go to church, pay our tithes and Bible studies, go to Bible studies and go, get back to work again. Live for 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Die and go to heaven. No problem. But that person will not know what he or she is going to miss throughout eternity. We are going to serve the Lord throughout eternity. In what way we are going to serve Him? To the proportionate amount. What are you serving Him now? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with everything that you have, are you serving Him? Then you are eligible. God the Father is going to make you a pillar in His temple. You are going to serve Him throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. Now, Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 says, your light has come, arise and shine. Light is not enough. Light comes to you and then you are born again. But you got to now rise and shine. Are you shining? Are you giving forth your light? Are you just like a candle lamp? You got to shine, bright light. Very bright. Arise and shine, for the light has come. See, that is a very important scripture. You got to ask yourself, are you shining among the perverse and crooked generation? Perverse and crooked. Isaiah, Matthew, not enough to have light, but you must shine. Did you get that? It's not enough to have light. It's not enough to be just born again. you must shine. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. The moment you are born again, God says, you are the light of the world. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket, or put but on the lampstand, and give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine. Did you watch that word? I said, it's not enough to have light. Don't say that you are born again, just come to Bible study and go and live like a devil. Not listening to any messages, not getting excited about the kingdom, not talk about the kingdom, just talk about this problem, that problem, this problem, the church is that, church is this, pastor is that. That is demonic. Now, let your light shine before men, before the Gentiles, before everyone, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That they may see your what? Good works. Immediately your heart must run to Ephesians 2:10. The good works were prepared by Father before the foundation of the world. Are you listening to me? That we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 is already prepared. Your ministry, your calling, everything is already prepared. Now you got to shine in order to get into that path. Shine so that you will have those good works. God has called you for something. You are not the savior of the whole world, but you are called for something, to solve a specific problem in people, to help a ministry that nobody else can do it. God wants you to join that team. You don't come for Bible study or listen to this cassette maybe, and then just go about your own way. See, you must shine. The early church, they were on fire, right? They wanted to go fishing after just Jesus, you know, showed them and said, let's go for fishing. They go back to their the past work. And the Spirit of God has not come upon them yet. Now, after the Spirit of God has come upon them, they became different people. Totally different. Absolutely different. They started to preach the gospel. You know what they did? Exactly what Paul is saying. They were holding out the word of life. There is no salvation in any other name, Peter said. Acts 4:12. Only in the name of Jesus Christ there is deliverance from the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of God. If anybody says Jesus died for you, and then, you know, and your sins shall be forgiven, that's true, and you believe in him, you have eternal life, that's true, but that's part of the gospel. That's not the full gospel. The full gospel is Christ empowers you, and he gives you authority over demons and every demonic power to tread upon them in scorpions and serpents over them and rule over them. He gives you authority. That is the full gospel. How many people are living in the full gospel? They just said, I got saved such and such an year. See, the early church held out the word of God, the word of life. Are you holding out the word of life? Or just giving one or two cassettes just for the sake of doing it, to clear the guilt out of your heart? To clear the guilt out of your heart. When they were preaching, they got arrested. They said, no, stop, don't preach in this way. And they wouldn't listen. You see, they said, we cannot stop but preach. We cannot keep quiet but speak about the things that we heard and that we have seen. Remember that? Remember? No? Acts chapter 4, verses 16 onwards. I want to show you that. Acts 4. 16 onwards, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a noble miracle has been done through them, is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, and from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God or to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Can you see my brothers and sisters, my children of God? Can you see that? What was making them to do the zeal for the kingdom, the power of God that was within them? They had the light shining. Why? They were holding out the word of God. They were holding out the word of life. Remember Philippians 2:14-15. As we hold out the gospel outside, you will shine. You will never shine if you are not a soul winner. You will never shine if you are not involved in evangelism. Don't be just 16 because you have cassettes and books and you read, you come for Bible study, or you take part in Lord's Supper, or listen to whatever songs of the most of the popular artists, the worship leaders. No, you don't shine. As you hold out the word of life, is the word of God going out of your mouth? Just now we heard that, then, you know, Christy was saying that she was proclamation, the word of God, to speak out, and she got strengthened. The word is near you, it's in your mouth, and it's in your heart. The mouth and heart are connected. How does it go inside your heart? By your mouth. You speak and it goes down. And you speak, it goes down. And then it comes from the heart, and you speak and it's done. Amen. But we don't hold out the word of life. Acts 5:20. Watch this one now. Now they are arrested, the angels brings them out, and what says the angel now? The angel said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this what? Life. All the words of this life. The crooked and perverse generation has having a different life. But you better go and speak all the words of this life. Are you speaking? I just wonder, they're having conferences and all that. They have all the time, they have conferences. They don't speak about this. What are you doing? How many conferences do you want to go? Sometimes you had to call halls. I think I had to organize a conference and then tell them about 3 days and just finish off with 1 day, give them just right on the face. What conference for you? Never come again. Go and win out, win souls. True. More conferences they go to, the more they get dumb, the more the head swells. See, early church, they were holding out the word of life. No wonder they were shining. They were shining. What about John the Baptist? John chapter 5, verse 33. John chapter 5, verse 33. You have sent John and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp. Are we like that? Now, John the Baptist lived in the previous dispensation before the Holy Spirit was given. He was shining. He was a bright light. Are we like that? Many people are going to sleep in churches. They're just there for the sake of, well, as a membership. And they feel guilty if they don't go to church. Many are like that. Oh, I must go to church. See that? He was a bright shining light, Jesus said about John. Why? He was holding out the word of life. He was preaching repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent. You hold out the word of life anywhere, wherever you are working. You got to speak the kingdom message. You got to speak the kingdom message. I asked one lady this afternoon, how are you? She said, I'm better than you. I said, I reject that. You don't know who I am. She said, who? I've said, I'm a king. You know, right, Christy? You don't know me. You should know who you are. God has made you king and priest. You don't need a credential for that. I have the credential over here. Amen? Hallelujah. And the early church knew that. So they were holding out the word of life. John the Baptist held out the word of life. And he said, repent. And Herod even got frightened because of the anointing. They were really frightened. I mean, he had no gun. He had no sword or anything like that. He just Well, minimum dress, leather girdle, whatever. He was holding out the word of life. He was not mixed up with the lifestyle of that generation. See, the path of the righteous is as a bright and shining light. The path of the righteous, it gets brighter and brighter. Proverbs 4:18. Now, why Solomon has to say it is getting brighter and brighter? Can anybody say, you got the revelation? Why is it getting brighter and brighter light for them? No, just now I have been. Why was it getting brighter and brighter for those people who are walking on the path of righteousness? Holding out the word of God. When you get brighter and brighter, the only way you walk on the path of righteousness is you are going to hold, you're going to preach the gospel. Amen. You can't shine up. You're going to get into their lifestyle if you don't hold out the word of life. This is the word of life. It is not just some doctrines here. It is the way of life. See? So those who are on the path of righteousness are those people who are holding out the gospel. They are preaching. They are soul winning. So they are getting brighter and brighter. Even in our church and anywhere I go, those people, they are on fire. They are excited. I see them because they are all out to win souls. Not others. Others are caught up in whatever the things of life is. Get this. If you don't get this, any other thing but what I am speaking to you, at least get this. Why are you yawning? Why are you drowsy? Why are you just even probably you just come what I am going to say today? It is because you have no burden. There is no light shining in you. There is no desire to win souls. The heart of the Father God is missions and souls. Any church, any believer who is not involved in evangelism, in winning souls, seriously, that person is dead. He's caught up in the world. And the love of the Father is not in him. You can be in the church. You can still come for the Bible study. But you are dead inside. You have to be involved in evangelism that is holding out the word of life. Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. He was a pastor. He said, do the work of an evangelist. That means win souls and fulfill your ministry. The moment you have no desire to win souls, you're already on the path of death. Not a righteousness. Check up for yourself. See, anyone who is following Jesus according to his requirement. What is his requirement? Anyone wills to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus said to those disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. And if you don't become a soul winner, you're not following Jesus. Is that correct? Because he said, if you follow me, I'll make you. I'm going to make you. I'm going to give you my desire. Because I'm after souls. He just won one lady at the well, the Samaritan woman. She went and brought the whole village. One lady. And he started not just by telling about the kingdom or who he is. He just asked, can you get some water? Some of us think that we have to have some hermeneutics or whatever. What is that? You to preach the gospel. He just went and asked water, man. Just water. Lady, I want some water. See that? And she became a catalyst to go and then bring all those people. When Stephen, the martyr, held the word of life out. He was preaching the gospel. Nobody could resist him. The power of the Holy Spirit going through him. And what happened? Acts chapter 6:15. And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. What happened? He was, the anointing came upon his face. He was shining. Why? He was holding out the word of life. He was preaching the gospel. Why is your face sagged down? Why are you caught up in problems? Why are you just even wallowing in your yesterday's problems? Why? You know it now. See? But I want to say, brothers and sisters, my dear children of God, many have been deceived and trapped by Satan into the soulish life. They're imprisoned by their soulish life. They're truly born again. They are in good churches. They come to Bible study. And still, they are caught up in their past life, their soulish life. They may not be fornicating or committing adultery and things like that, but then they are dead. Because the world has come inside. You have heard this phrase many times. The ship in the sea is all right, but the sea in the ship is all wrong. The sea cannot get inside the ship, right? It will get drowned. The church in the world is okay, but the world inside the church is all wrong. When the lifestyle gets inside of us and we are molded by it, you will never have the love of the Father. You will never have the burden for the souls. You will never be a soul winner. But you can have the Bible. You can listen to worship songs. That's why I'm telling you again and again. By your mouth, by your words, I'll catch you where your thoughts are. You can even talk to my wife or anyone, but I know where your heart is. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are the things that you speak with me? What is it that you want to share with me? They're signs to know what is in your heart. So many are blinded and they are caught up in this life. They cannot see the harvest. Jesus said, come on, Peter, lift up your eyes and see. You say 4 months to harvest? Now. Now is the time of harvest. See that? They are unable to know the times and seasons of life. So they had to be thrusted out of the into the harvest. Thrusted out. I preached this message last Sunday and I was speaking to this elder, Ranjan, and then he was telling me, my God, we never heard a message like that. Why is it that they don't say these things? That to push and thrust people out into the harvest. And he was laughing and laughing. Oh, I just love it, he said. Because people are just sleeping. They're coming to church. They're churchgoers, church attenders. They attend churches. That's why they go to work and then come back. And there is no sense. Many of you, I know that you don't love your work at all. You just go there. Oh, God, when is this going to end? I only see two hands. Others are doing this. So I can think they are scratching their ears or... Now, Luke chapter 10 verse 2. If you have been thinking of the souls, you will be enjoying this message. If you have been in the world, swimming around, I'll tell you, you will be saying when this man is going to finish. Just as he says, this meeting should stop very soon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke chapter 10 verse 2. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. The laborers are few. Why the laborers? I gave a message on that. How many of you have been listening to that? At least twice or thrice. Have you been listening to that message? Laborers are few. Put up your hands. Lord, bring this to an end very quickly. Only one or two. Why the laborers are few? Not been listening? Huh? send out laborers into the harvest. That means the word send out means to thrust in, to push. The word send out is in Greek, if I pronounce it right, ekbalo, E-K-B-A-L-L-O. E-K-B-A-L-L-O, ekbalo in Greek, to send out. So I saw this ekbalo used for other things. Now, ekbalo has been translated to pray to the Lord of harvest that he may send out. Send out. No, that's too posh. You know, the Greek word says to thrust, to drive out. I'm going to tell you certain. Now, the ekbalo word translated cast out 52 times, thrust out twice, drive out once. See, I want to show you now thrust, how to thrust people out, the same word. Luke chapter 4, verse 28 and 29. Luke chapter 4, verses 20. Then you will understand what this word is, send out. That's why people say, oh, Lord is not sending me, so I will wait. I will go when the Lord sends me. How is that? No, I'm going to pray the Lord to push you. I hear one amen. Are you all here? Oh God, please help me. Thrust me out. 4:28-29. So all rose in the synagogue. This is when Jesus has given the word. When they heard these things, they were filled with wrath or anger and rose up and thrust him out of the city. Now you understand? Some of us need to be thrust out of the city of Scarborough. Amen. I said amen. I don't hear any amen here. Jesus was thrusted out of the city. You know, he wanted to go and then heal and deliver all those people in the synagogue. They didn't want him. They pushed him out. That was God's time for Jesus to go out. Where? Near the beaches and the byways and the highways. Come out, demonic spirits. He healed them everywhere in every place. Thrust out. That's the same word, ekbalo. Can you see that? Almost in every place where they drove demons out of a man, this word has been used. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he gave them authority to cast out demons or thrust out demons, drive out. You don't drive out demons. Jesus never said when that man cried in the temple in Mark 1st chapter, when the man cried out, he didn't say, would you mind coming out? No, he said, shut up and come out. That's the way you drive out. You use force, the power of God, the finger of God, the Lord Holy Spirit through him. Said, come. That's the way the laborers must be sent out into the harvest. Amen. Would you like to go that way? I like to go before that, before he thrusts out. Why do I have to be pushed out? See? Mark 1:34. Thank you, Lord. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out, ekbalo, many demons. Not some, many. John 9:35. You're going to turn here and there now. I didn't allow you to go to Mark 1:34. Mark 9. Excuse me. John 9:35. John 9:35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. The blind man who got healed was cast out of the synagogue. But he was trying to witness about Jesus. And they said, you are telling us? You're trying to preach to us? They took him bodily, cast him out of the temple. That's the word ekbalo. Now you understand. Pray to the Lord of harvest that he may thrust out laborers into the harvest. So you can say, Lord, help me, push me, get me out into the harvest. Amen. Oh, that was a good one. Mark 8:31. Mark 8:31. See, that's why I told you, I am not trying to give you some butter and jam, and I have to give what the Lord is giving me to give you, to make you disciples, not church members. Church members, Bible study scholars. Mark 8:31, did you get it? And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes. What is this? Matthew 8:31. Exactly. Thank you. So the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, Ekbalo, if you drive us out, if you thrust us out. Can you see that? Matthew 21:12. This is interesting, what Jesus did. Anybody remember? Matthew 21:12. When Jesus went into the temple and God, temple of God, and drove out all those, drove out, thrust out. He just got them out. He didn't tell them, hey, look, guys, I mean, this is not done what you're doing here. Would you please go out of the temple? No, he just got the whip and got them out. And I pray that the Lord must get a whip and get the people out into the harvest from the temple. And all people said, amen. He said, I get all the time the more noise from here. Thrusted them out, drove them out. I'm coming, I'm just giving you, this is the same word used in Luke 10:2. Send laborers into the harvest. Okay, let's go quickly. Acts 7:58. Here again, we see they caught Stephen and cast him out. Thrusted him out. Now, in the earlier times, when the church was on fire for some time, and after that, they got settled down in Jerusalem. Jesus said, after the resurrection, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive the Holy power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the vision that was given to them. But after some time preaching over there, and many people got saved, once 3,000, another 5,000, and a lot of things were happening, miracles and healings, deliverances, they got settled down in Jerusalem. They lost the vision, what Jesus gave. See that vision? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They got settled down in Jerusalem. They got citizenship, and they got the PR over there. Hallelujah. And what happened? Acts 8:1. Now Saul was consenting to the death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered. God had to use circumstances to drive them out of Jerusalem. Are you going to tell me I will wait until that comes? I pity you. You don't have to wait until that comes. You can say, here I am, Lord. I'm going. Where do you want me to go? So the great persecution came. And watch this. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of, watch the words, Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And verse, coming back again to verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching what? The word. Now you can see how God drove these people out so that the gospel may go over there. God brought many people over here to get the gospel to them and got saved. Now he's sending them back to preach the gospel to the Asia. In many churches, they came here, got saved. Now he's sending them back. Many families are leaving. They're going for good. I heard from a pastor from Canada. Hindus who got saved and got from fire. And all those church members over there in Sri Lanka, they are just seated and enjoying Sunday service or a fasting day. Here they are enjoying the conferences, the camp meetings, and the fathers' meetings and the mothers' meetings. And the Joyce Meyer meetings and the Benihin meetings. Wow! They're good. But then you got to get out and do your work. Now, so they were scattered. Now go with me to Haggai. Those who got scattered, they went and preached the gospel. So Jesus, God used natural circumstances to drive them out, to thrust them out into the harvest. Haggai chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. Haggai is before Zechariah and after Zephaniah. If you know Zephaniah is, in my page, it is 847. Verse 3, then the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses or nice your condos? And this temple to lie in ruins? My church is lying in ruins. Many people have not heard the gospel. There are unsaved people in churches. Are you there? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That means he says, consider your life, man. What are you doing? You have sown much and bring in little. You have been working so hard, but you are bringing little money to home. You eat, but you are not enough. You're eating, but it's not enough for you. You drink, but you have not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. Dissatisfaction in life, in everything. Food, clothing, your living. And he who earns wages to put it in a bag of holes. Your pocket is been made with holes. God had put holes over there. So you get your salary, you work hard, and then you put your money that falls down. And God says, do you know who was doing that? The devil? No, me. And people can't realize it. You want to have your own life and do your own things and then live whatever in a comfort way. When my church is lying in ruins, my temple is in ruins. Not only that, your temple, your inside itself, you are not taking care of it. You are not taking care of your soul. You are only taking care of probably your body. What you can put on, what you can... And then what clothing that you can wear. What about the temple that is inside? The spirit man, you're not looking after him. And also, of course, the work of evangelism. So God says all these things. So you have better see why you are frustrated, why God has to bring these things in order to thrust them out so that they can go out, bring timber and all that, cut wood and build the temple. Are you there? Check up your life. Can you, now, you know, listen carefully. You know what is happening now? And all these people who have no enough clothing, not enough food, not enough salary to pay the bills. They are the people right here. And they are going and praying to the Lord. Lord, please give us finances, Lord. Lord, give us that. Give us this. They take all the promises. And God's, this is what's happening now. And God says, what about my temple? What about evangelism? What about winning souls? What about the call that I have on your life? What about the anointing that I gave you? What about all those teachings that I gave you and the revelations that you received? And you are asking to rectify these things. How about these people during Haggai's time? They had gone and prayed that way. God said, I said, it's me. I'm not going to change it. I put the holes in your pocket. You are selfish. You're not seeking the kingdom first. It's so simple. People try to get out of problems. They just want to get out the hook. Take the hook off. Lord, please help. Like Pharaoh, get the frogs away. Moses, can you pray, please? Pastor Moses? Oh my Lord. I don't know to whom I'm speaking to. So financial breakdown and all these. What about Jonah? He had to be thrusted out, right? He had to learn it the hard way. You don't go, Jonah? Wait a minute now. Storm is going to come. I got a fish ready. We'll see. You like to have your bed there 3 days? Okay. Go ahead. Jump. And then he comes out, the fish brings him out, and he vomits him outside, and then he's there, and the word of the Lord comes to him, and says, Jonah, it's time for evangelism. Come on. This time he never said anything. He went. He learned a very hard lesson. And some of us had to wait until such time. That's the word, thrust out, to push us out into the harvest, because souls are going to hell and they will never return. You remember Abraham was speaking to that rich man who was in hell. Nobody can come from there to you. and from there to us. And Hosea said, would you please send somebody? I have 5 brothers. Please. Here we are comfortable, thinking about only our family. My mother is not saved. My dad is not saved. My sister is not saved. My grandma is not saved. Oh, leave them alone. Pray for them and get out and win souls. You sow seeds of salvation there. God will save your family. When my whole family came against me when I got saved, I started preaching the gospel, and then many people decided they got saved. And they were still angry with me. And these people are getting saved. And my mother used to come and slowly listen to what I am preaching. Yeah, what he says is right. Yeah, about Mary. Yeah. And she got saved. And my sister got saved. Amen. So get out, man. Just you and your family and your dog and your bed and your cat. Go and save somebody else. Jesus couldn't save his own family over there in his time. They were so rebellious. He didn't cry out and say, Father, what can I do if you don't save my brother James and Suzanne and this Jude? They are fooling me around all the time when I get out of the house for evangelism. Please. Why I say this, many of us think this way and then just clog down inside your own house. You don't worry about the other souls. Please. Repent from these things. Who is responsible to preach the gospel to this generation? Who? The pastors? Why you, every one of you, will receive the gospel. The God of this world, this age, is the devil. And the devil doesn't want this age to finish. This age will finish once this kingdom, the gospel, is being preached everywhere. To nations. It's going out now. But what about your responsibility? It is not the responsibility of the Canadian government or the United States government or United Kingdom government, whatever, the British. No, it is the responsibility of every believer to take the gospel to the place where it has not been preached. You are the light where you are working there. And hardly anybody gives the light out. You don't want to even say, well, I'm a king. Oh, Pastor, they fooled me. They think I was a stupid mad. You are the light in the place where you're working. The immigration has no business to preach the gospel. They have not been given the task. Any country. You have been given. It's your responsibility and my responsibility to preach the gospel. See, the destiny of this world hinges on the church, the believer. See, we are responsible to bring this age to the end. How do we do that? How are we going to do that? Not coming to Bible studies and coming to church and then Sunday's coming day after. We have the same routine, sing and have a message and eat and laugh and bye-bye and go home, go to bed, come back. Same routine. It becomes a religion. Dangerous. It becomes a religion. Now, we cannot do evangelism by sitting in churches. Matthew chapter 16, or Mark, excuse me, Mark chapter 16, there the word of the Lord says about signs of the believer. And the first sign of the believer is casting out demons. Hardly anybody preaches on that. They are well tongue talking, Bible believing, do-do-do, and they're whatever. They're singers and dancers. But what does it say? And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new. They will take up serpents and they will drink anything deadly. It will not by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hey! Whatever you eat, when you pray for the food, that is destroyed. The power, whatever the nonsense that is in the food, that is destroyed. So when you are out in your working place, you are praying before you eat, or you're speaking the word of God in the proper time when you're having conversation with them. And they watch. You are praying before you drive. Sometimes you may feel a little small. Before you drive, you pray. There's an unbeliever next there. Sometimes, oh, what they will think. Now you pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, you will send the angels of God before me and cover us by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And let that person, what angels? What blood? What is this? And you can tell them, you are the light. You got to shine. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And why signs don't follow? Because it is only promised for only one type of people, for those believers who go. Signs won't follow as you sit and go to work and come back and eat and sleep. And come to church and go to work and come back and eat and sleep. And go to work and go to church and come back and sleep and eat and eat and eat and eat. And then go to work and go to church and come back and sleep. And then go to work and go to work and go to work and go to work and go to church. And then come back, eat and sleep. You are laughing because you are doing the same thing. I'm just repeating what you're doing. Isn't it right? When I repeat, you're laughing. But when you do, you don't laugh. When you are in that business, you don't laugh. But you go to work and go to church and come back and eat and sleep and then come back again. And then you go to work. And then you come to church. And then you eat and you sleep. And then you come to Bible study and you go to work and come back and sleep. This is what you call demonic routine. This is what the perverse and crooked generation are into. Am I right? I don't care if you agree with me, but is this right? It doesn't matter if you agree with me. I'll have to say what I have to say. This is the lifestyle of this generation. I know that not every one of you will take this message. I know it, darling. I know it for certain. It is not for everybody will take this message into your heart. No. No. See, signs will not follow the believers who will not go and preach the gospel. They are promised only to those who go. They went out and preached the gospel. Preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them with signs and wonders. We are harmlessly occupied in churches singing and dancing and then paying the tithes and go to work and come back. No, it's not going to work. You are going to become a dodo, not become, you're already a dodo dead bird, which existed before the first flood. Or a dinosaur. Living among the perverse and crooked generation, you shine only as you hold out the word of life. You got to hold out the word of life. See, proclaiming the gospel. Are you facing difficulties? Are you frustrated in life? Are you having so fed up of this? Oh God, I can't take up this routine again. This is terrible. No, God, please, are you crying out with tears? Now, this week I heard some people were praying really with tears and I burst out crying. Honestly, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God. No, this is terrible. This routine business is religiosity. Kingdom of God is power, man. Kingdom of God is power. You come in the name of Jesus, the demon says, no, please leave me. Not leaving you alone. Get out. Get the whole stuff out. In Jesus' name. That's what you're called for. That's what God has anointed you for. Oh, I have a Bible, Pastor. I marked everything. All colors. Rainbow. God loves rainbow, right? You said well-marked Bible is a well-fed soul, so I colored everything. I want to see your excitement if you have done that. I am not against doing for you to do that. No. I want to see your excitement. What do you have to say? No, you said, what is the Lord did for you the last week? Are you experiencing frustration? Are you okay? Are you being rejected, thrusted out? Listen carefully. Are you being, have you been sort of going through very hard times and you said, oh God, no, I can't help. You know, I don't know what's happening to me. Are you saying like that? Probably the Lord is thrusting you out. You're losing the love of many. You're getting so much frustrated with your work. And even sometimes they are going to fire you. Glory to God. And even the house people are tell you, get out. We don't need you. The time God is trying to say something to you. Thrusting you out. Think about evangelism. High time you thought about it. Laborers have to be thrusted out. Hallelujah. May the Lord of harvest thrust every one of us out into the harvest. That's the only way we are going to shine these days. There is no other way to shine in this perverse and crooked generation, which is getting darker and darker and darker and darker. According to Isaiah, you prophesied nearly 2,750 years ago. Gross darkness shall cover the people. How are you going to shine? Holding out the word of life, preaching evangelism, the gospel. That's the only way. I've told you the truth. It's up to you. May the Lord bless you.